Okay, we're holding on Pesachim Daf Ayin Bet with the top of Ayin Bet Aban Aleph at the beginning of the Gemara. We mentioned in the Mishnah, we spoke about someone who had a Korban Pesach that he decided to bring for a different purpose, a different intention. And now we're going to try to qualify this case a little bit. Mayaskinan Ilayim Betoa Shema Mina Akira Betoa Havi Akira. Right. So, what exactly is the nature of this case? Are we talking about where he mistakenly brought it for a different purpose? Because if that's the case, then we can infer that you can change the status of the pre-designated status of an animal even by accident. Meaning, it was designated for Korban Pesach. So, if you have active intention to change its status, you can change its status. But we generally operate under the assumption that without active intention to change its status, it's not just going to change to something else. But here, what we would be suggesting is that even though you're doing it betot, you're mistakenly changing its status, it still works. So that's quite the implication. Ella, but okay, rather, no, you intentionally change its status from the Korban Pesach. Im seifa ushar kol zvachim shach shishchata on l'shuva Pesach, im einan ru'in chayav, im ru'in hen Rabbi Elazar mechayav chatar Rabbi Yeshua poter. But take a look at the end of the Mishnah there, because at the end of the Mishnah says, if you slaughter any other Korban for the purpose of a Korban Pesach, you take a different Korban, and you decide to slaughter it on behalf of a Korban Pesach. If those korbanot, those animals, are not even fit to be brought as a Korban Pesach, because the Korban Pesach has a lot of details, a lot of criteria for being brought. So if those animals are not even fit to be brought as a Korban Pesach, so then you're certainly chayav for doing that on Shabbat. However, if they are inherently fit to be a Korban Pesach, then we have a machloket, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Elazar says you're chayav for slaughtering, and Rabbi Yeshua says you're potter. Ve'ibe oker, mali ruin, mind the shayin ruin. Right? But if we're talking about where you had a positive intention to do it for a different korban, then what does it matter whether the animal was fit or not fit? Of course you're going to be chayav. You intentionally did something wrong. You were intentionally bringing this as a different korban. No one would say you're potter here. It could only be that you'd be potter in the case of a mistake. Ela pshita b'toa. Rather, obviously, we're dealing with a case of where you mistakenly brought one of these other korban as a korban pesach. Reisha ba'oker v'seif b'toa. But that would mean that the beginning of the Mishnah is speaking about where you intentionally changed your status, and the end of the Mishnah is talking about where you mistakenly changed your status, and that's different. Generally, we like to assume that we keep a consistent topic throughout the Mishnah, right? So are we suggesting that we change topics mid-Mishnah as to whether or not you are doing this intentionally or unintentionally? I'm Rabbi Ahavin in Reisha Belka Rezei Fatoa. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's exactly what we're suggesting. Right? The beginning is talking about where you intentionally changed its status, and the end is you did it accidentally. Ashche Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef L'Rabbi Abahu Dehava Kaiva Uchlusia De'ishi Amar Le Matnitin Ma'ay Amar Le Reisha Belka Rezei Fatoa. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef found Rabbi Abahu in a crowd of people, and he said, resolve, please, this Mishnah for me. How exactly do we reconcile each side of the Mishnah with each other? And he said, well, what we say is that the beginning is talking about where you intentionally uprooted the status, and the end of the Mishnah is talking about where you mistakenly did so. So Rabbi Yitzchak had Rabbi Abahu teach this lesson to him, teach this idea to him 40 times, went over it with him 40 times, until he was very confident with it. It was like it was resting in his pocket. Tanan, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, ma im Pesach shemutar lishmo, k'cheshina et shmo chayav, v'zvachem shen asur lishmo, k'cheshina et shmo, en adin shiye chayav. Okay, so we saw in the Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer said like this, right? You know, what we say regarding Pesach, which is mutter to bring a Pesach, l'shem Pesach, on Shabbat, the moment you change your intention, you bring it for a different purpose, you're chayav, right? So zvachem, which are usher, even to bring them for their proper reason, that you change their name, you change their purpose, all the more so they're going to be usher. They're not even mutter to bring in the first place, right? Right? But if we maintain our assertion previously that the beginning case is talking about where you did it intentionally, the end case is talking about where you did it mistakenly, then it's really not fit that Rabbi Eliezer is trying to bring a proof for his latter teaching about the Zvachim changing their status from the former teaching about the Pesach changing its status, since we established that the latter teaching is when it was done mistakenly, and when the former teaching was done when it was done intentionally. So sure, the former teaching that he says where it doesn't work when it's done intentionally, Of course, it doesn't work. You did it intentionally, right? However, the latter teaching, which is about zvachim being brought for a different purpose, maybe it doesn't work. Maybe the first case only didn't work because you did it intentionally. Here we're talking about a case though you're doing it accidentally, and yet you want to bring a proof from the previous case. It's very difficult that once we have established that the two cases are talking about completely different things, especially if the first case is more machmir, that you're going to try to bring a proof from the first case to the second case, right? But that's a difficulty that we run into when we try to establish the first case as being intentional, the second case as being accidental. Rabbi Eliezer, lo shani le. Rabbi Yeshua, de shani le, lishni le hachi. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, there is no difference between someone who does so mistakenly and does so intentionally. There is no practical difference between these two cases, right? Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're chayav in both cases, right? So for him, you can compare the two cases to one another because there's no nafkamina between whether you did it intentionally or unintentionally. However, Rabbi Yeshua does hold that there's a difference, right? Because he would hold that that if you did so unintentionally, then you should not have uprooted its original status. In which case, we need to answer for Rabbi Yeshua why this seems to be a good proof if we're comparing apples and oranges here. We're comparing a case where you did so intentionally, which would be chayev, to a case you did so unintentionally, which would be pater. Achi kamar lei. Well, this is where Rabbi Yeshua would respond to Rabbi Yeshua. This is what he means to respond to Rabbi Yeshua. Latidi lo dami reisha be'okir v'sefer b'toa. He says, according to my opinion, you can't even compare the two, Rabbi Eliezer. I mean, they're just different. They're different categories altogether. It's when you did it intentionally, when you did it unintentionally. However, according to your shita, Rabbi Eliezer, I have a kasha on your shita, right? I still disagree with you. Right? Because could you even, according to you, who are comparing these things, right? Would you compare a Pesach, right, who changed its name from something that was mutter to bring to something that was usher to bring? A Zevach changed its name status from something that was usher to bring to something that's mutter to bring because you're intending to bring it as a Korban Pesach, right? And that's mutter to bring, right? So even though the Zevach was originally in the category of something you were not allowed to bring, now you're bringing the shame something you can bring, whereas the Pesach the opposite. It was originally in the category of something you could bring, but now you're intending to bring it as something you cannot bring. Right? So according to your Svar, Rabbi Eliezer, since you don't differentiate between the Reish and the Seifa, whether you did it accidentally or intentionally, I can still raise that following kasha with your Shita, right? Because here the Zvachim are being brought for a purpose, an intention that is in theory mutter. Amar lo, Rabbi Eliezer, emurei tzibur yechichu. So Rabbi Eliezer responds to him, well, the parts of the korban that are left on the mizbeach and burnt up, so they would serve as a good proof for my shita. How so? Shehin mutarin lishma v'ashochet lishma al-chayav, because they are certainly mutter to do for their appropriate reason. However, if you slaughter a different animal, not that you slaughter the korban chata, not that for the purpose of a communal offering, still you're going to be chayav, even though it's mutter. Amar lo bishua, even mar dvei muritzi, v'shkein yesh lan kitzva, tamar pesach shein la kitzva. Says, well, can we really compare the two? Because the emurei tzibur have a kitzva. There's a set amount of the korban tzibur that we bring every day, right? Okay, there's different days, maybe chag, shabbat, weekday, have different amounts of korbanot that we bring every single day, right? But there's a set amount, right? But by korban pesach, there's no set amount, right? So once you've already brought the korban tzibur, you can't say, oh, this is a korban tzibur. We already did all of those, but the korban pesach, there's no set limit. You can always claim that you're bringing another korban pesach. Just remember, it just depends on how many people are bringing a korban pesach. Lemeimra de kol hecha de eat like kitzva mechayev Rabbi Yeshua v'hare tinoko diyeshlein kitzva utnan mishahayu lo shnei tinoko echad lemu lo shabbat v'echad lemu lo echad lemu lo achar shabbat v'echad lemu lo b'shabbat v'shachach memal et shel achar shabbat b'shabbat chayev. Well, is that to say that Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Yeshua's general position is that anything with a set limit, if you make a mistake while trying to do a mitzvah, and that mitzvah has a set limit, that we can assume that you're going to be chayav in such a case? Right? Well, that's difficult from that which we taught in a Mishnah, right? So we learned that if someone had two children to circumcise, right? And one of them had to be circumcised after Shabbat, meaning Shabbat was the seventh day. One of them had to be circumcised on Shabbat, so Shabbat was his eighth day. And he got confused, and he circumcised the one who was supposed to be circumcised after Shabbat on Shabbat. So then now he's chayef, right? Because he didn't even do a mitzvah, right? Because it's the seventh day for the child. So you can't say, well, I was involved in doing a mitzvah. because you weren't. You were circumcising a child on the seventh day. Echad lemulo be'erev Shabbat ve'echad lemulo b'Shabbat. However, if you had one that you needed to circumcise on Erev Shabbat, one you had to circumcise on Shabbat v'shechach v'mal etchel Erev Shabbat b'Shabbat, and you slaughter the one who should have been you circumcise the one who should have been circumcised on Friday on Shabbat. Rabbi Eliezer, Mechayev Chatat, Rabbi Yeshua Poter. So Rabbi Eliezer says you're Chayev Chatat, but Rabbi Yeshua, notice, he says you're Poter. Now clearly there's a set kitzvah, right? You know you only have one person to circumcise, right? And you didn't circumcise that person. You circumcised the wrong person, but you didn't have unlimited kids to circumcise. In which case, why would Rabbi Yeshua say you're Poter? This is something with a set limit, and he should say that you're Chayev in such a case. Amar Rabbi Ami, Hachamai Eskin, Ankigon Chikanu, Malach Shabbat, it shall erev Shabbat be Shabbat igahach the Shabbat the tarid be. Right, so we're talking about a case where you first circumcised the child who was circumcised, who should have been circumcised erev Shabbat on Shabbat itself. So the mistake in circumcision that you made here was while you still had to do the other child who should have been circumcised on Shabbat, right? So because you still had that mitzvah to do, you had to do a mitzvah, right? You had a mitzvah that you needed to do, which was circumcise the child whose eighth day was on Shabbat. And instead, you circumcised the child whose ninth day was really on Shabbat. In which case, you still had the mitzvah to do. So yeah, even though there was a set amount, you haven't accomplished that set amount yet. However, the case in our, you know, in our Mishnah that we attribute to, that we say Rabbi Shua Shita is because there's a set amount, you're going to be chayav, whereas if there's no set amount, then you're going to be putter. That's a case where you already had brought in all the necessary communal korbanot. So there's no mitzvah left to do. So you didn't make a mistake in the process of doing the mitzvah. The mitzvah is already completed. What that would mean for Rabbi Meir's shita is that he believes that you're pater for slaughtering a korbanot for the purpose of communal korbanot, even once all the communal korbanot are already brought. So that's a very, you know, that's a very mechudash shita. But didn't we learn in the Braita, Vatanya, Rabbi Chiya, Me'avel Arev, Rabbi Chiva, that we learned in the Braita from Rabbi Chiya, from Avel Arev, Amar Rabbi Meir, send the name of Rabbi Meir, Lunachiklu Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Al Shahayulo, Shnei Tinokot, Echad Lemul Erev Shabbat, Echad Lemul B'Shabbat, V'Shachach V'Mal, Etchel Erev Shabbat, B'Shabbat, Dechayev. Apparently, everyone agrees in such a case where you had one child to circumcise the Erev Shabbat, one circumcised on Shabbat, and you circumcised the Erev Shabbat, one on Shabbat. Everyone agrees here that you're Chayev. So what's the point of their machloket? Where you had a child to circumcise on Shabbat, a child to circumcise after Shabbat, and your mistake was circumcising the child from after Shabbat on Shabbat. In that case, Rabbi Lezer says you're chayev chatad, and Rabbi Shua says you're potter. So the point of machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir said the point of machloket between Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Eliezer is only in a case where you had the case where two children, one for after Shabbat, one on Shabbat, and you circumcised the one for after Shabbat on Shabbat, the Rabbi Lezer Mechayev Chatat, Rabbi Shua Poter. In such case, Rabbi Lezer says you're Chayev Chatat, and Rabbi Shua says you're Poter. But here we can see that you'd be Chayev in a case where the mitzvah was already completed, and so the mitzvah that you're doing is no longer, meaning you already circumcised the Shabbat child, and now you're circumcising the Friday child, and everyone says you're chayev there. In which case, how did we assume earlier that Rabbi Meir's position was if you slaughter it for a communal offering, even if it's already brought, you're still going to be pater. And here, what we are suggesting is if you If you circumcise a child, even though the appropriate child was already circumcised, you're going to be chayev. So there's a lack of parity between Rabbi Meir's different shitas. V'tizbara, well, is that even a good explanation of the Braita? Meaning you're challenging me from this Braita. Is that even a good explanation of the Braita? Difficult explanation of the Braita. Mahatam delo avid mitzvah pata Rabbi Yeshua. Hachadaka avid mitzvah mechayev. Because what you'd be suggesting is that Rabbi Yeshua holds your pater. When you circumcise a child who's supposed to be circumcised on Yom Rishon, on Shabbat, meaning it's not even a mitzvah. He didn't do anything. He's on his seventh day. He's not even shayach to get a brit milah. And then you're telling me that that Rabbi Yeshua holds that you're chayav when you do a mitzvah, like circumcising the child who's supposed to be circumcised on a Friday, on Shabbat, meaning he's sure it's a day late, and it's not supposed to doche Shabbat, but at least you're doing a mitzvah. So your explanation of the Braita cannot possibly be correct, because you're saying that when no mitzvah whatsoever is performed, like the circumcision of a seven-day-old child, then you're going to be pater. But when a mitzvah is performed, like a circumcision of a nine-day-old child, you're going to be chayav. That's an absurd understanding of the Braita. Amri dvei Rabbi Yanai reisha kigon shekadam mal v'mal shel Shabbat be'erev Shabbat. So Rabbi Yanai said it's like this: the reisha is when you first circumcised the child who was supposed to be circumcised on Shabbat on erev Shabbat. So you totally flip them. Shlo na Shabbat lidchot. In which case, Shabbat itself had no reason to be pushed off, right? Because Shabbat wasn't seen as pushed, meaning Shabbat, you could say, if you have someone to circumcise properly, then Shabbat is nidche, right? Shabbat is like pushed off for the purpose of doing the Brit Milah, and then you did the wrong Brit Milah. However, once you've already done the Brit Milah you're supposed to do on Shabbat and Erev Shabbat, then you have no valid reason to push off Shabbat as well. It's not even Shayach. The Sefer Nidna Shabbat Litchot, it's low. However, the Seifa is dealing with a case where Shabbat is pushed off to a certain degree because there is a Brit Milah to do there. Shabbat lidchot etzel korban tzibor, right? And so here, here in the Mishnah, we're talking about a case where Shabbat is pushed off for the korban tzibor. Meaning, the distinction we're drawing here is not whether the mitzvah was already accomplished, as we tried to do so earlier. Once the mitzvah is already accomplished, then you no longer have a heter to do any of the mitzvah. Until it's accomplished, then you have the heter to do the mitzvah. And so, if you do the wrong one, it's like you made a mistake while trying to do a mitzvah, and you're going to be pater. We're saying that's no longer the correct distinction. What the correct distinction is whether there was a heter to do something on Shabbat. If you have a Brit Milah to do on Shabbat, then you have a heter to do a Brit Milah on Shabbat. And if you did the wrong one, you're going to be pater. However, if you had no heter whatsoever to do a Brit Milah on Shabbat in the first place, then you have no heter to do so, and if you did anything, then you're going to be chayev. So, for the Shechita, it's more like the latter case, right? Because the Shechita, you have the heter to bring a korban on Shabbat because you have the korban tzibor that you have to bring. And you brought the wrong one, but Shabbat was already pushed off for the purpose of the korban tzibor. You just happened to bring the wrong one. It's more similar to a case where Shabbat is already pushed off for the Brit Milah and you happen to do the wrong one. Amar le Rav Ashi le Rav Kana hachanami harei nidna Shabbat litchot etzel tinokot de'alma. But can't we just say that Shabbat is always just allowed to be pushed off for the sake of Brit Milahs in general? No, we have to look at a specific person, a specific Moel who's supposed to be doing a Brit Milah. We ask, do you have a reason to push off Shabbat or not? Okay, so returning to the Mishnah, we said that all other korbanot that were brought for the purpose of the Pesach, so if they're not fit to be brought as a Pesach in any way, then of course you're going to be a chayav. However, if they are fit, that's the subject of the machlokin Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua as to whether or not you're chayav. So who is the Tana who differentiated between whether they were fit or unfit to be brought as a korban pesach? That's Rabbi Shimon Shita. The Tanya, we learned that a brayta echad zvachem ruin v'echad zvachem she'en ruin v'chein ashochet l'shem imurei tzibor pater. Right, that whether or not the korban are fit to be brought as a korban pesach or unfit to be brought as a korban pesach, and similarly, someone who slaughters for the sake of communal offering pater. Your example, divrei meretz, rimei shita. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon then said as follows: Lo nichlaku Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shua al she'in ruin chay. In fact, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua have no machloket when it comes to animals that were not fit at all to be brought as a korban pesach. In such a case, you're going to be chay. Alma nechku al ruuyin Rabbi Lezer mechayev chatan Rabbi Shua poter. They only argued on animals that were fit. That Rabbi Lezer says you're still chayev chatan, and Rabbi Shua says you're poter. Amar Vivi, Amar Rabbi Lezer. Poter haya Rabbi Meir afilu egel shel zivchei shlam shachtu l'shuma pesach. That Rabbi Meir would say that you're pater if you slaughtered a cow, a calf for a shlamim that you said was l'shem pesach. So you intended to bring a calf for a korban shlamim that was, or the calf was for the korban shlamim. Then you did it for l'shem pesach. Rabbi Meir would exempt you in that extreme case, even though it's very clear that it's not a korban pesach because it's the wrong animal. But doesn't Rabbi Meir agree that you're chayv in a case of a blemished animal because it's apparent that it's not supposed to be brought as a korban pesach? Clearly, a calf is also apparent that you're not supposed to bring it as a korban pesach. Amar le bivale mumin lo tarid behu v'ha tarid behu. Yeah, because an animal with a blemish is not something that can be brought as a korban. Right, it's just totally outside the realm, the category. So there's no way that you're intending to do a mitzvah with this thing, and then while you're doing the mitzvah, you just did the wrong thing. Where we can say, well, you were involved in doing a mitzvah, so we're going to say that you're pater. It's a bal mum. It was never involved in doing a mitzvah. However, a calf could be brought as a different korban. You could intend to do it as a shlomim, and then you made a mistake while you're doing a mitzvah, and then we can say you're going to be pater. Ba'amine Rava Mirav Nachman Chulin L'Shum Pesach Mali Amar Rabbi Meir. So Rav Nachman asks the following question: if you're bringing Chulin, so an unconsecrated animal, an animal that was not intended for any korban, and trying to bring it as a korban Pesach, which obviously is a consecrated animal, what would Rabbi Meir say then? Amar le poter hayar emeir afilu chulin shum pesach. He would even say in that case that you're going to be pater, you're involved in doing the mitzvah, you're pater. Avamar Rabbi Yochanan modeh hayar emeir bali mumin. But doesn't Meir hold that a bal mum? You're going to be pater for a bal mum. So clearly, you should be pater. Sorry. Doesn't Rabbi Meir say that when it comes to a bal mum, you're going to be chayev, right? So it seems that if it's apparent that you're not supposed to be bringing this animal as a korban pesach, then you should be chayav. It's not just every single case. As long as you're bringing it as a korban, you're going to be pater. So why would he say that you're pater in such a case of bringing chulin? Right, because you can tell the difference between two animals, one that has a mum and one that does not have a mum, right? So you're not going to, you shouldn't be bringing that at all. You shouldn't be dealing with that. However, if one animal is chulin and one animal is supposed to be brought as a korban pesach, well, that you can get confused between because there's no outward differentiating simanim on the animal. So you might just be bringing the wrong one. The vitama the Rabbi Meir vishum ichlufe. Wait, is Rabbi Meir's svara based on whether or not you're going to confuse the animal you should be bringing for the animal you shouldn't be bringing? Amar Rabbi Eliezer, poter haya Rabbi Meir afilu egel shaziv cheshlam shachdu l'shem pesach. Amar tam Rabbi Meir mishum tride. So it doesn't seem that Rabbi Meir's shita is because you're going to get confused between different interchangeable korbanot, because he says that you're pater also for bringing a calf as a korban pesach. Clearly, you're not mistaking that with anything that you should be bringing as a korban pesach. You're not mistaking a calf for a sheep, right? So clearly, it's not because you're going to get confused between the two korbanot, rather because you're actively engaged in a mitzvah, and so you might get confused or you're not paying attention as much. Amar le tarid avalgav de lo michlaf, michlaf avalgav de lo tarid, lapuk and bali mumin de lo ichlufe michlaf velo matri tride. Yeah, in fact, there are two sufficient reasons two sufficient conditions that Rabbi Meir would say you're pater. If the animals are interchangeable, so he'd say you're pater. Right, even if you're not actively involved in a mitzvah, and if you're actively involved in a mitzvah, and so you're distracted, you're going to be pater. Even if the animals couldn't be interchangeable. However, the case of a bal mum is not going to be mistaken for something, and you can't say that you're involved in a mitzvah because the bal mum is not fit to be brought in any event. Yativ Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Rav Yitzchak. Akila de Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. So Rabbi Zera and Shmuel bar Yitzchak were sitting on Rabbi Yitzchak's porch. V'yatzvi v'ka amre yama Rabbi Shum and Lakesh nitchalev lo shapud notar v'shapud shal tzaliv achlo chayav. So, and they quoted the name of Reish Lakish, that if you had a skewer of notar, which is, you know, leftover korban meat that can't be eaten anymore, and a skewer of meat that you're allowed to eat, and you switched them, and you ate it, you're going to be chayav. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ishto Nida Baal Chayav, Yivamto Nida Baal Pater. And Rabbi Yochanan responded, you know, if you slept with your wife while she was a Nida, you're going to be chayav. However, if you slept with a Yavama as a Nida, you're going to be a Pater. Right? So, you know, you're marrying her, you're doing Yibum through the process of sleeping here with her, but she's a Nida. Ikeda Amre, now, it's unclear what Rabbi Yochanan meant to respond to Reish Lakish's case. Like, what was he bringing in here? Ikeda Amre Kolshken Vahid Mechayev Delo Asa Mitzvah. Could be that Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Yochanan was trying to say, you know, if you're sleeping with your wife, and you're going to be chayav, all the more so, you know, which could be a mitzvah, then all the more so if it's just about eating, which is a reshut, that you're going to be chayav. And that's what he meant to say to Reish Lakish, you're certainly chayav in such a case. Eat da amre, however, there are those who understand Rabbi Yochanan's position, his response as follows. Behahi pater. My taima hatam hu da havale le shayule, aval hacha de lo havale le shayule lo. Here, the case that you're a potter is Rabbi Yochanan would say that by eating notar by accident you are going to be potter. Why? Because with a human being you can ask what the status is. You need a, you're not a nida. However, with food you can't ask the status. In which case, what Rabbi Yochanan was indicating is that only where you can clarify the status would you be truly chayav. V'Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'ishna Yevamto, Dekavi Mitzvah, Ishto Namikami Mitzvah. Well, what's the purpose of Rabbi Yochanan's distinction, right? Is it that you're involved in a mitzvah by sleeping with your Yevama because you're marrying her through the Yibum, and therefore you're considered involved in the mitzvah, and then you're going to be Pater, but also sleeping with your wife is going to be is a mitzvah, right? You know, the assumption is that you know, you're trying to have a child, in which case sleeping with her is a mitzvah. But ishta meuberet, right? Well, now we're talking about what his wife is already pregnant. Ha'ika simchat ona, but still you have a mitzvah of just sleeping with your wife. You know, shelo b'shat onata. No, there's only a kind of a periodic mitzvah. You know, everyone in accordance with their capability. And this was not in one of the time periods that you were chayav, that you had a mitzvah to sleep with your wife. Does Rava hold that you're always chayav? Then you have, you know, you have obligations at certain times, but obviously you're accomplishing a mitzvah at any time you do it. Rather, Yochanan is talking about where the woman is on her period or right next to her period. In which case, of course, it's not going to be a mitzvah to sleep with her then, because she's a nida. You ask her to sleep with her then. You can't say it's a mitzvah, so you're not accomplishing a mitzvah at all. Well, you know, if that's the case, then it's not going to be a mitzvah to sleep with a yavama either. Yavamto bazizmina ishta lo bazizmina. Yeah, but yavama, you know, the first time you're ever sleeping with her, your first time you're together, so you don't want to ask. You know, you're not comfortable yet asking. You know, what time of the month she's in, whereas opposed to your wife, you're more comfortable asking. Rabbi Yochanan, come on, and whose sheet does Rabbi Yochanan follow? Ilimik Rabbi Yossi, if you want to hold Sakh Rabbi Yossi, she says it's not. And Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, Shechal Yod B'Shabbat, V'Shachach V'Otzi Yed Alulav L'Rashut, HaRabim, so, you know, Rabbi Yossi holds like this, if it's the Yom Tov Rishon of Sukkot and it falls on Shabbat and you forgot that it was Shabbat, you made a mistake and you took your lulav out to the Rishut Rabbim, Pater. Right, because you were involved in a mitzvah when you did it, and so we're going to say that you're Pater for taking it out. And in which case, maybe Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, the reason you're Pater for the Yavama is you're involved in a mitzvah when you did it, and so even though it was Usher, we're going to say you're Pater. That's different because that has a meaning. You have to take lulav that day. If you think it's a mitzvah to take it that day, then you have to take it that day. Whereas the yavama, there's no set day that you have to do it. In which case, you can't say that I was eager just to accomplish the mitzvah and make sure that I didn't miss the mitzvah. You're not going to miss that mitzvah. So you can't say that it's like Rabbi Yossi's sheet. Maybe Rabbi Yossi says that we're more lenient with him because he made a mistake in his eagerness to accomplish the mitzvah that had to be done on that day. Maybe you want to hold it. Maybe you want to say that he holds like Rabbi Shua's position when it comes to Zvachim. What is that position? Dimahatam Nami Zman Bahul. Right? So, Rabbi Yeshua, you know, as we know, is mekel when it comes to bringing a Korban Pesach. When you bring a different zevach instead, we're going to say you're potter, you're involved in a mitzvah. But that also has a set time to do it, in which case it could be that because you're preoccupied with making sure that you're doing it on time, we say that you're going to be exempt here. However, again, in Rabbi Yochanan's case, there is no set time to do it, right? Ve'elok Rabbi Yeshua detinokot, and if you want to say that it's that you follow like Rabbi Shua's shita when it comes to circumcising the children, and you circumcise the wrong child, but you're involved in the mitzvah, you're going to be patur. But here too, you only have one day. You know, you have that day that you're supposed to be circumcising the child. Ve'elak Rabbi Shua to truma. So rather, it must be that it's like following Rabbi Shua's shita when it comes to truma. Haya ochel b'truma v'noda shu ben grusha ben chalutza. Rabbi Ezra mechayu keren v'chomesh Rabbi Shua patur. Right. So if you're eating truma, and then you find out that you shouldn't be eating truma because you're a ben grusha ben chalutza, meaning you're not actually a descendant, you're not actually a kohen. Your father was a kohen, but you're not actually a kohen because your father married a divorcee, right? So Rabbi Elazar says you have to bring keren chomesh, meaning you have to repay the truma an additional fifth because you inappropriately ate it. And Rabbi Shua says that you're a potter, right? Dilma k'derav bivi bar abaye, damar of bivi bar abaye, b'chirum b'er of Pesach bizmana bahu. Well, you know, even still, you'd have a problem, right? Because maybe we're talking about Erev Pesach, in which case you have to be eating your truma before Pesach starts, because your truma is bread. So there also you have the time limits, the time limits, right? Inami. Alternatively, you could suggest as follows: Shani truma de ikre avoda avoda rachmana achshe, right? That truma is different, is exceptional, because truma is called a type of avoda. And by the avoda, Kadosh Baruch Hu accepts the avoda even if it was done inappropriately. It was done by a non kohen by mistake. As we taught that if someone was doing the avoda and then he found out that he's not actually a kohen, then all of the korbanot that he brought are going to be considered pasul. Rishua, however, says that they're kosher. I'm reading on my time with the Rishua, and what's the reason for Rishua? Baruch Hashem chelu fal yadav tiratze. Right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts the handiwork of those who are chalalim, who are non-kohanim, who did the avoda by mistake. In which case, it's hard for Rabbi Yochanan to learn this from Truma. Truma might be an exceptional case, because Truma is called the avoda, and the avoda, the explicit pasuk, says that if it's done by mistake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still accepts it. But Truma hecher ikri avoda, well, where do we see that Truma is called avoda? I know Korbanot is called avoda. There was a story where Rabbi Tarfon did not come to the Beit Midrash that day. L'shachar matzol Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel found the next day l'shachar. Amar lo, nema luvata mashlo v'et midrash. Says, you know, why weren't you here yesterday? Amar lo, avoda avadati. He said, I was doing the avoda. Amar lo, kol tverecha einan ela divrei tema. He says, your words are really curious. V'chei avoda b'zman hazem inayin. Right? Do we have such avoda b'zman hazem? There's no Beit Midrash. Amar lo, harei hu omer avodat matana aten et kehunat echem v'azar akarev yumat. He quoted a pasuk that said that the avoda matano, the avoda gifts that were given to the kahuna, to the kohanim, and a non-kohen who comes here will die. Right? What are the gifts that are given to the kohanim? That's truma, right? Asa achila truma begvulin kavodat beit hamikdash. Right? So there seems to be some sort of equation between truma and the avoda in the Beit HaMikdash. And so truma is considered like avoda, in which case it's not a good place to learn it out from. Meaning, because the truma is considered like the avoda, and the avoda we say that we're going to accept by accident, it's, this can't serve as a source for Rabbi Yochanan saying that when you're involved in the mitzvah of Yibum, you're going to be pater for sleeping with a nida. We'll stop here.